Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden here. It's true straight up on a Wednesday. Lots of things happening in Washington and in the Capitol here in Denver. We're brought to you, as always, by
ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Great website. We check it every day. The bottom of the hour, we're going to...
Along with Synergenics.
Oh, sorry. Dr. Julie McCallum.
And your...
And Gina Martinez, who does my hair. So I'll talk about that a little bit later, tell you how you can get hold of her. A lot to talk about today. But, you know, later on in the show, we're going to be talking with Dr. Sal Giorgiani, I think is how you say his name, about this John Hopkins study that they're trying to hide from us. Also today at the Capitol, the state legislature wrapped up their special session. Our heroes, Patrick Neville and Dave Williams, doing a good job. One of the things the Republicans managed to fight for and win on was to force the Democrats to take out of the bill of taking away any aid to businesses that were in counties that said they weren't going to enforce the governor's draconian lockdown orders, pointing out that the whole reason we're in this in the first place is because of the governor's draconian lockdown orders. So it's not like the state is doing us any favors.
A lot of you had fun yesterday. I'm sure you'll hate. Flew to the set to watch the governor and Dr. Fauci.
Oh, God. I didn't even. Why does he even ever listen to Dr. Fauci? But one of the things I wanted to talk about was there was an extraordinary and very powerful news conference held just a couple of hours ago by Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell and a whole host of characters in Georgia talking about some of their battles. And the thing is, and we've got some sound I'm going to play with you for a second. And, you know, Chuck, it was interesting. Of course, none of the mainstream media covered it. You won't even hear about it. But stuff is starting to trickle out. Kayleigh McEnany today in her news conference really took them to school, the White House press corps. Yeah, because they were all saying, oh, well, A.G. Barr said there's no widespread threat. She said, no, he didn't say that. Read his statement, you morons. She didn't say morons. That was me. She said, he said, we haven't seen any evidence. We're still looking into it. And then pointed out that so far with the stuff they've been hearing has been in civil cases, which isn't really his job to look into in the first place. So he did not say that. Now, that doesn't mean I'm particularly hopeful about A.G. Barr, but...
On our justice, me and our Justice Department, our beloved, great Justice Department.
But the thing is, even less respect for the media who just make that up. Even the Denver Post is even the Justice Department put out a statement yesterday saying that's not what Barr said. And the Denver Post, still their headline, Trump's baseless accusations. Here's what I'm going to say. We've seen the evidence. It has not been investigated. We haven't heard the other side, but they have presented literally hundreds and hundreds of eyewitnesses with their signed affidavits, you know, sworn to under the penalty of perjury, who say this. Now, maybe it'll turn out to be not true. Maybe it'll turn out to, if it even is true, not to make a difference. But you certainly can't call it baseless. You can't say that the accusations don't exist. You can't keep saying.
You never do know whether it was enough to overturn the election. So if your basis is, well, allow them to cheat as long as we can claim it didn't affect the total outcome, it's such garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the Democrats have been doing for 200 years or ever since 1832, or they deemed to be.
Well, like Sidney Powell said, it's been going on for decades. And some of the stuff they talk, I mean, let me just kind of bring you up to date. There are election lawsuits going on in all of the battleground states, which have not yet been decided. Some of them, they're and then Pennsylvania, I think they're jumping it right up to Alito. I'm hoping that Alito can talk about something in the Supreme Court. The Washington Examiner, though, now looking into some allegations of campaign fraud in Nevada. The Trump campaign is making these allegations, too. So far, they found 1,500 dead voters who voted.
1,500?
1,500. 42,248 who voted multiple times.
Really?
And then they found hundreds who apparently listed the casino as their address, but coincidentally didn't put on their ballot or on their voter registration card a date of birth or even their sex, right?
Wow.
So, you know, Sidney Powell in this extraordinary news conference, and I think Lynn Wood is right, he agreed too, that you know, literally, I think the future of the country is at stake here. I mean, Cindy Powell said this has been going on, she said, for at least 2 decades. They've been laying the groundwork for this, doing this. Lynn Wood is saying, you know, maybe we need a whole other party, which that sounds good, but it's going to be kind of hard to do. But I think, though, President Trump just a little while ago put out another message saying, hey, look, I'm fighting not just for me. He said, not just for the 74 million people who voted for me. He said, but for the entire integrity of our election system. He's like, he said, and I agree, if you can't trust our elections, then what can you do? In Georgia, while you have the shameful Republican governor and secretary of state who apparently were, at least allegedly, maybe not apparently, allegedly taking bribes from some of the Dominion people to put that software in place, are now, though, saying, well, they are investigating Stacey Abrams and company for trying to illegally register
people.
She would never do that. Who, by the way, still hasn't. She's the governor, for God's sakes. Why would she do that?
Validly elected governor.
This from Sandra. It's been going on for decades. The Bushes were in on it. Oh, I'm sure. Here's the thing. And we'll talk about, this is my solution. I want to play some of the sound. But, you know, anymore, I think, okay, on one hand, we could say, well, we need to convince Republicans and state legislatures to get rid of these you know, the stupid laws that are not laws that allow election fraud. But that's not going to happen. I think anymore, we just need to cheat better. It's like we're the idiots, right? We're fighting a war. So we've got the other side has these tanks coming in. They've got fighter bombers bombing us. And we're throwing rocks at them saying, well, it would be dishonorable to try to fight with a tank. And they're like, you're right. It would be totally dishonorable as they run over us. I think the Republicans just need to cheat better. It's not even really cheating if these are the rules. The Democrats have changed the rules, and the rules are there are no rules, okay? So I think, you know, Dominion, they'd probably be happy to be, you know, any corrupt politician. They don't particularly care.
They're going back up anyway. They'd serve their purpose.
Well, and now we find out that they're owned in large part by China. Yeah, mm-hmm. There we go. What a coincidence that is. Yeah, so it's just, I mean, that's what I think anymore. Republicans just have to cheat better. We're going to open up the phones, too. Oh, thank you, Sandra. She agrees. 888. Wait, what's our phone number? 888-627-6008. Before we do, though, if you want to call in, I want to play some of the sound from this. Lynn Wood, who, you know, I dealt with him on the Ramsey case. Well, he and I probably disagree on some of the Ramsey stuff.
Yeah, probably.
The guy is a good lawyer. But he was like a firebrand, fire and brimstone preacher today. Mm-hmm. He was whipping the crowd. I mean, he was great. So, Thomas, if we could play number one. I mean, he was saying basically it's 1776 in America again.
And he said the British government never did to the American colonial businesses or what these governments are doing.
Mayors are doing. Yeah, exactly.
None of them.
And part of this is
and how many of the British governors, you know, or were so brazen that they'd make rules for all the colonists and then ignore them themselves.
You can't even keep track. That's with the COVID stuff. But yeah, I mean.
Well, it's the same thing.
Same thing. You can't even keep track of the Democrats.
COVID was utilized to steal the election.
Well, exactly. But one of the things he said is, and keep in mind, there is a psychological operation going on against us.
Yes.
If all you listen to are the mainstream media, you think the election is over and there's no chance. Now, on the converse side, because I like to put truth straight up, if all you listen to are some of these other organizations, you think, oh, it's in the bag. Trump is going to win. I don't know that that's necessarily true either. It's just so you need to listen to these things with your brain, I guess. You know, it's like it's not like it's that hard. But if we could, Thomas, let's play the Lynn Wood soundbite where he's saying quit listening to the mainstream media.
Stick with OAN and Newsmax. They tell you the truth. Read the Epoch Times. They tell you the truth. This is the battle between good and evil. This is the battle between truth and lies. I'm going to introduce now a person that's going to tell you the truth. They want to know, where's your evidence? Show us your evidence. Oh, we're going to show them the evidence. There's piles of evidence. There's mountains of evidence. This election was a fraud on America. Donald Trump won a massive landslide victory unparalleled in the history of this country. And he's going to stay in the White House because we the people voted for him and we the people run this country. This country belongs to you and you and you and you. It belongs to the people.
I mean, that's great, right? And then we've got two more sound bites we'll play. And then I know we got people in the waiting room and on Zoom who want to talk, and we'd love to hear from you all there too. Let's talk the number Sidney Powell then, who is so funny. You can tell Lynn Wood is more of a defense attorney, right? Defense attorneys tend to be more fiery and stuff like that. Sidney Powell's a prosecutor. Right. She gets up there. She's obviously embarrassed by the fact that everyone adores her. General Flynn was there, by the way, too. Wow. I mean, they had Allie Alexander was there. Vernon Jones was there. They had all kinds of people standing up behind them. Wow. This is not some fringe group of people here. These are people who, like General Flynn, have experienced firsthand just what the swamp and the deep state and the corporate and media and Obama are willing to do to you if they don't like what you're going to say, they perceive you as a threat. But Sidney Powell, let's play the first soundbite. She talks here a little bit. Let me just clarify or explain. This was live streaming, and I was grabbing it as it was live streaming, so I kind of apologize for some of the jerkiness of it. But if we could play, Thomas, the number one Sidney Powell soundbite.
Algorithm that flipped votes at a certain percentage from Trump to Mr. Biden was run all across the country. There might be a few areas that it wasn't used in, but not many. And then we have the extraordinary evidence of inexplicable spikes. I mean, hundreds of thousands of spikes in votes. We can see them injected into the system, sometimes at a rate of 90% for Biden and 10% for Trump. We all know that defies reality.
And then Sidney Powell said that what they're going to do is, I mean, they've got lawsuits filed. They filed lawsuits in Georgia. They filed lawsuits in Michigan. But she also said that they're going to turn, this was kind of funny, they're going to turn the evidence over to the DOJ, at which point the crowd started booing. And she's like, yeah, I know. But there's not a whole lot of options there. So if we could, Thomas, play the number two Sidney Powell soundbite.
Is our love of freedom and the application of the rule of law. It hasn't been applied fairly or equally in probably two decades. We must demand that change right now. We will give all our evidence to the Department of Justice as soon as we get it pulled together. I know. I wish I could say I didn't have concerns about how that would be handled, but unfortunately I still do. It's going to take a lot of indictments and fast to show us that they really mean business, because there has been flagrant election fraud. We have evidence of everything from people buying votes with checks written from a business on K Street in D.C. to ballots being shredded, ballots being manufactured, ballots coming across the border from Mexico that are counterfeit, a plane full of ballots that came in, ballots distributed across state lines after being faked. I mean, there is no kind of voter fraud that hasn't been experienced this year across the country.
Yeah. And there you go. I mean, and as she said, that's been going on forever. You know, this from Karen Cataline. We must not cheat better. Our only answer is to restore the Constitution and prosecute those who committed crimes against it and against us. You know, Karen, I don't know. I think that, who's the guy who looks like Sammy Davis Jr. I think that's Allie Alexander. He's sort of a conservative populist. I follow him on Twitter, and he does videos and stuff like that. It's A-L-I Alexander. You know, and that's people weigh in if you want. 888-627-6008. How do you go back? I mean, it's a war. And in the war, we're trying to fight by the rules. And we say stuff like, well, the Constitution says this. And they laugh at us as they stomp on the Constitution and shred it along with the votes for Donald Trump. I don't know how you fight. I mean, who are we going to go to? The Department of Justice? I mean, thank you, Sidney Powell.
One of the things you have to realize that election laws are like no other. They're like any other law. They're vague.
It's not the Ten Commandments either, right?
Well, they're not, you know, Can you move into Georgia if you actually intend to move into Georgia? You know, what about a student?
How do you show that you didn't?
Yeah. So they're going to cheat and cheat and cheat, and we're going to do nothing about it, and you're going to lose the country.
Well, and maybe let me rephrase it. Not that we must cheat better. We need to start playing by the rules that they're playing by. We need to learn to use their own rules against them. We need to learn to use their own rules better than they use them themselves. How about that? That sounds nicer than cheating. So if the Democrats are going out there and they're having 42,428 people vote multiple times in Nevada, and nobody seems to do anything about it, and that doesn't seem to be illegal because nothing's happening, then we need to find 82,000 people who vote multiple times. That's all I'm saying. As she said, there was no kind of, we're calling election fraud that didn't concern. That's just say they have changed the rules, and I think we're not going to change them back. I don't see how that can happen. So what we need to do, I believe, is learn to use the rules that they're using better. I see. Ben is up. Hey, Ben, thank you, by the way. Ben Nicholas here gave me the website. I was trying to listen to it on numerous sites, but thank you, Ben. Why don't you tell everybody what you were listening to so they can find it, too, if they want.
Well, it was on a YouTube channel that I found. And the sad thing about this is that you or I, all of us, we have to dig so deeply and hard to find these links that should really be up on the national media and should not be suppressed, but we have to dig so hard to find it. And so that's when I found that, then I thought I would share that with my friends and let them also view it. So this message would get out.
Now, right.
If you listen to what she was saying about some of the calculations that were being applied in Maricopa County, it was 1.3 for each Biden vote, whereas the Trump votes would only be mathematically at 0.7.
Yeah.
So what was going on out there? And apparently this is what she's saying is being also applied in the state of Georgia, not to that same degree. I think she said 1.22 or something like that. But still the same methodology is being applied across the country. So I did just a quick math. If you were to take the 80 million that Biden got, and if you subtract that, you know, multiply that by his original number, which would be 0.7, you'd have 56 million who voted for Biden and 96 million who actually voted for Trump. And so those are the probably closer to the numbers that we're going to see if we ever get through this process.
That's what Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell keep saying, is that Donald Trump won by massive amounts.
Right.
And we've seen some great work by the Gateway Pundit, who are talking to some of these, you know, algorithm experts. I don't even really necessarily know what that means. And they're saying things like what they did was initially they had all the cheating votes, what we would consider to be fraudulent votes. Okay. They consider them legal, but there would be fraudulent votes, or not legal, but they're counted. And that wasn't enough. The Donald Trump was winning by more than they anticipated.
Yeah, so they had to go and tinker.
So they had to tinker with the machines.
Yeah, and I think what happened here was that you had both sides over here. I mean, in my opinion, there are some Republicans that are heavily involved in some of this stuff as well, these rhinos.
Yes.
And they were turning a blind eye to it. And I think you see that in the governor in Arizona as well as the governor of Georgia.
Right.
And as Lynn Woods was, I mean, he publicly was stating that they were being bought off, both of them.
Right.
Encouraging them to sue him, so he could prove to the world that they indeed were on the take. And so,
Lynn Wood was, he flat out said, he said they were on the take. They received money, he said, from the Dominion people. He was calling on the people. Now, I disagree with this, to not vote until they get it fixed, because that's for the next time around.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was, and I guess you're right. That's exactly what he was doing, is trying to get them to sue him.
He was baiting him right there. You know, I mean, he was just saying, bring it, you know, because I'm prepared to take this to court and prove what he was saying was correct.
Right.
There was a lot of allegations that were being made, but they were backed up with what I look at as being circumstantial evidence, but a preponderance of it.
Right. And that counts.
That counts in court.
I mean, most criminal cases are circumstantial. Hardly ever do you have the videotape with the guy
actually shooting him.
Right.
Except
the police cases.
Except if they're they work for the Channel 9 News here in Colorado. Yeah, yeah. You know, then you have everyone with it.
But then they're innocent, too.
Then they're innocent, too.
There's just,
I think this is starting to gain some momentum. I think
it is.
I think it really is. I think people are just starting to realize that they've been sold a bill of goods. And the actual thing is, as Sidney Powell said, it's been going on for decades. It's been going on in Denver for decades.
Yes.
It's and you know they look at every election rule, then they interpret it in any way they want, and then they outright cheat. But in addition to that, so for example, what's gone on for a long time in Denver is that when a ballot is rejected, they would automatically send it to the Democratic operatives, who would then get it fixed and brought back. That was not done in Garfield County. That was not done in Montrose.
El Paso.
Done in El Paso or else. They just directly cheated. Not cheated. It's they interpret the rules. And I don't really know. You know, I was at a conference up in the mountains.
Is scary, everybody. Chuck and others are meeting of the minds.
Meeting of the minds. And some would run for statewide office. Others are media types. And everybody is just so frustrated because they don't see any clear path to overthrow, and I think overthrow is a word, illegitimate government that has occupied the state capitol. I mean, it's an illegitimate government. They won it by cheat by mail, and they've been forced to cheat by mail. And, of course, there's so many Republicans, you know, the Dick Wadhams and all that. It's just fine. It's Donald Trump's our problem, and I mean, it's just.
I said a couple of years ago, I said, if you don't like this mail-in ballot and this harvest, you know, the ballot harvesting going on, we have got to do that. And we have got to become better at it than they are.
Right. That's what
and
I'm saying.
Then they'll change it. They'll get rid of it because they'll continue to lose. But in this case, I am all for getting rid of that and going back to the actual precinct.
That's the only way the Republicans will ever win again in the state.
That's right. So, right.
And that's what Sidney Powell was saying. Yeah. But, hey, Ben, listen, thank you for coming in. Thank you for doing the math there. So Karen is saying, okay, she was saying we need to prosecute those. And she said, okay. And I said, no, we need to use their tactics. And Karen says, maybe for the next one, but if you don't prosecute this cabal that are guilty of sedition, there won't be a next time.
There's not going to be
Karen, this is my problem. I was for a while, because I listen to Lynn Wood, and I'm channeling my inner Lynn Wood anymore, or at least today. George Soros, and Lynn Wood was like, George Soros, get out of our country. There's a reason.
I love Lynn Wood.
I know. There's a reason.
Get
a
run for something.
Well, I got a feeling he's got a hashtag fight back. He's formed a.
Good.
Yeah, he said, don't give me any money. I got plenty of money. But he said, give this to my cause. And he was saying, we need to start a third party. He said, these parties are too corrupt. Because here's the problem. George Soros, there's a reason he has spent so heavily in local races, local district attorney races, local clerk and recorder races, local secretary of state races. There is local attorney general's races. I mean, here in Colorado, millions of dollars, millions across the country. Who's going to prosecute? I agree with you, Karen, and anyone who thinks is we need to prosecute, but the reality is they're not going to. Look, so Durham is still investigating the freaking Russia hoax, right? I mean, Rev could explain that to him now, right? It's been 4 years. It's going to go away. They're not going to do anything. Yeah. And that's just us trying to say, well, we're going to play by the rules.
How many people
we're going to be
prosecuted
nice.
For voter fraud in Colorado?
None. Oh, and they've even had cases. No, none. And they're not going to, because who would have to prosecute? The district attorneys.
Attorney general.
Or the attorney general or the secretary of state. They're not going to do that.
They're not going to reform it. They're not going to change it. I think Lynn Wood was calling for civil disobedience, and I think that's a good idea. I think other people, restaurateurs are, in fact, engaging in civil disobedience for their own manner. And I think more people have to. We accept and let this illegitimate government push us around, close our businesses, bankrupt us, destroy our children's education. I mean, what is it?
And then when we rise up, they cheat on the election so that they stay in power. And Karen says, as Trump says, let's see what happens. I'm not. Keep in mind, I am not giving up on the fact that Trump may be able to pull this out and he may be able to go through the courts. But do you think the Democrats are going to say, oh, gosh darn,
cheating? We have to look at that. We have to look at that right away because we don't want to be considered elected illegitimately.
And they're going to say, that tactic didn't work. No, they're going to double down. And I mean, because the other thing Donald Trump has said is if we don't get this fixed, and we're just talking about how do you fix it, there will never be a Republican elected anywhere again. Because Keep in mind, here's what the Democrats are now doing in states like Colorado. There are certain districts or precincts where they know they can't run a Democrat and win. Right. So what are they doing? They're pouring Democrat money openly into the Republican primaries. So they're nominating some person who just calls himself a Republican. So the Republican wins, but it's a Republican in name only, literally, who's been bought and paid for by the Democrats. This is their plan, guys. They don't want to let a Donald Trump ever occur again. They don't want us
Donald
to ever
Trump
occur again.
Won is because they didn't think he possibly could win.
Surprise.
If they had known that the election was going that way, they would have pulled out the Kraken and made sure that Hillary, they just didn't think it was necessary.
Right.
This time, they didn't believe their own polls. They knew that was a fraud. And so they said, all right, you know, ship. And you have the United States Postal Service apparently acting as a agent for voter corruption.
Right.
And you got an AG Barr saying, oh, I haven't seen any proof yet.
Yeah, I mean, like,
everybody just be happy.
Yeah.
We've got a great.
Here's what I suspect is going on with Attorney General Barr is keep in mind the swamp revolving door. Now, maybe Barr wasn't as swampy as some of them, but
pretty swampy.
But he's fairly swampy. I think we've seen proof of that. What he wants to do is he doesn't think Trump is going to win. So he wants to be able to go into some kind of cushy consulting job in D.C.
Need the money. He just
well, and he wants to go to the parties. And
no, he doesn't even want to do that. There's a mindset. You want everybody just everybody happy. All you little serfs out there, continue to do your serf work and make enough money for Walmart and Target and the Chinese Chi-Coms and the slaves over in
because you
Western
can't
China.
Open your own business again because if you do, we'll close it down.
We'll close it down because in a few minutes we'll have the good doctor come on and tell you about have anybody really died from separately from the flu differently?
Yeah, the John Hopkins study. Because here's the thing. There's a reason, and Lynn Wood is right, and I encourage you all to do this,
love Lynn Wood.
I know. Seek out these alternate media forms. And frankly, keep listening to us.
Yeah,
shameless self-promotion. And Karen Catalina on Spouting Off.
That's right.
Because here we will at least give you the other side. I mean, we're talk show hosts, right? I'm not saying we're giving you absolute neutral, objective news.
Well, it's the truth as far as we know it.
Right.
I don't say things I don't believe.
We
got thrown off the air because I say things that
well,
I believe.
And we don't. Well, you didn't believe that this your comment there, but anyway,
we ought to have a nice school shooting in which nobody gets hurt and nobody gets hurt. Just something to take it off the stupid impeachment one. You know, where nobody gets hurt.
Well, the thing is they didn't take us off the air because of that. They
yes,
took us
did.
Off the air because
oh, yeah,
the,
left
the trolls
down. Yeah.
didn't like what we were saying.
Right,
and the
right.
reason they didn't like what we were saying is us and others are having an impact. So
yes.
seek out those things because you watch that. And this, I do agree with Karen Catalina. She talked about this on our show on Monday about that she was feeling encouraged. And that's because you listen to this other side and you're like, there is, as Lynn Wood says, mountains of evidence. Washington Examiner, other organizations are now starting to look into that. We'll see what happens. But in the meantime, I think we need to be gearing up to use their tactics, only do it better. They don't make any secret of it. What they're doing is not hard. It's not magical. They're just doing it. And, you know, that's what they do. The mainstream media is like Russia hoax, right? The mainstream media is like, if you question and you
even
call
though
it
the Russian hoax has been debunked.
They still
they
talk
don't care.
About it.
And then Russian interference. They don't lie. They cheat. They steal. And they destroy your family. They destroy your business. They destroy your children. What more do you want?
Yeah.
How much more do you have to take? Get your serf license, your official slave license, so you can work for the slave masters.
Right. Oh, this one, Barr's father hired Jeffrey Epstein, in his first teaching job. So say no more. Hey, Thomas, if you want to go ahead and try to get hold of the doctor now, we can go to him. He's going to be on the phone. One other thing I wanted to talk about today. Once again, Dave Williams and Patrick Neville are heroes. The Colorado legislature had their special session because the governor had to come out with all kinds of financial bailouts to help businesses after he crushed them by forcing them to lock down. Earlier, they were going to be even more draconian and say, if you had a business in some of the counties that are fighting back with civil disobedience and saying, hey, we're not going to enforce your draconian illegal lockdowns, they weren't going to give those businesses any relief. And thanks to people like Dave Williams and Patrick Neville, the Democrats had to take that out. So that's not going to be part of it. And thankfully, I mean, we're going to try to get Dave and Patrick on the show Friday. Dave Williams is like, I think there needs to be more civil disobedience by cities and counties. We need to have more cities and counties saying, not going to enforce these. You can't keep doing this. Patrick Neville pointing out, don't anyone for a second think that the state is being nice. Governor Polis put us all into this position in the first place. If your business is suffering, if you need some help, it's because Polis isn't letting you run your business.
All right, we've got a little mix up on getting the number for the doctor. Let me, so Thomas, if you're out there, let me give you the number, 407-748-1323. And the backup number for...
That just do the regular number. The back number might be his home phone number.
Well, then
Okay, let's just try that, okay? We've got Charlene, meanwhile, with us online, too. Hey, Charlene.
Oh, hi there, Julie. Well, I just want to say that the Davos crowd, the oligarchs, the elite, they were just riding along. You know, everything was good. They had the Uniparty working for them, going to do the Great Reset, and then Trump came along. And then nationalism and populism just kind of surged all over Europe and the United States. So they're pulling out all the stops, and, you know, they're going big or going home. And we each have to do the right thing that's in front of us. Like, you know, I make a choice right now. Do I wear a mask going into Home Depot? Do I boycott Netflix? Yes, I do. Do I boycott the, you know, the NFL? You know, there's so many little ways that we can fight back, and we've got to do that. You know, I'm thinking, like, we're feeding the beast with our taxes, but now I wonder, do they even need our taxes? I mean,
you know,
they generated
I've been thinking that too. Maybe we don't do that. Maybe we just say, maybe I agree with you, Charlene. And there's a part of me that's been like, well, wait a minute. It's like I'm giving you the money for you to buy the hammer to hit me on the head with, right? And at a certain point.
Right. But even if we boycott it with taxes, they generate this artificial debt with quantitative easing, $2 trillion extra dollars this year for COVID. So Trump couldn't get $25 billion for a while. So, you know, they have the plans that have been going on for a long time, and we just have to resist individually, you know, with every choice that we make, and realize what they're doing. And that
right.
is our
thank
hope.
You, Charlene. Good you points. Good
I agree.
Points.
Uh-huh. Absolutely, Charlene. Thank hey, you. Thank you for calling in.
All right.
We have
Dr. Salvatore
Giorgiani.
Giorgiani. He is the senior science advisor to Men's Health Network, with a lot of other great attributes and titles. Doctor, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How do you pronounce your last name? I don't want to butcher it again.
Well, I'm used to it, but it's Giorgiani. But we can use Dr. Sal. It's a lot easier for everybody.
Okay.
All right, Dr. Sal.
All right.
So wanted to talk to you about this John Hopkins study that came out. And which is, by the way, it's not like this was some, you know, stalwart conservative anti-COVID, you know, task force or something. It was just John Hopkins. Why don't you tell, rather than me do, why don't you explain what it said? And then I want to talk to you about what that means and why maybe we're not hearing very much about this.
Well, this is a study done by Johns Hopkins University, some of the faculty there. They looked at it. It was in the economics group, if I remember correctly. What they did was they were trying to understand the impact COVID has had on the overall death rate in the United States. And what they came up with in their cursory look at the data was, when they looked at the death rates across the United States from approximately February of this year through approximately October, November of this year, they found that the death rate now was essentially the same across all of the months, and they came to this very interesting suggestion that this means that COVID has had little impact on the overall death rate in the United States. It's kind of a stunning commentary, particularly coming from Johns Hopkins, who is really, when you look at all that they published, and they are very authoritative, but they are one of the principal sources that folks use to look at the number of cases, the number of hospitalizations, and the COVID-related deaths in the United States. So when I saw this data and information, I scratched my head and said, well, what are these folks trying to get at? Are they trying to tell us that COVID has had no impact on long, life and death rates in the U.S., or are they trying to suggest that COVID, when you layer it on top of other death rates? So I asked my son, who's a physician in town, and he said he was kind of surprised at the information as well. So I think a lot of us in the scientific community and medical communities are scratching our head and asking ourselves, why was this done? Why was it put out? Why was it given the coverage it was given? And to what end is it to, we're not quite sure what the point is. I think it does speak to the whole issue of this rather confusing concophony of information that the American public is being bombarded yes. with now, which if I'm confused about this, why are they confused? Now, Hopkins has pulled back. They haven't done their usual full court press to present this information and get everybody to get eyes on it, because I think they also are concerned that it sends bad messages or conflicting messages to the public.
Bad messages, like whatever you guys are saying, this is no different than a flu season, except it's been conflated. And I did read the study, because you can go back to the Wayback Machine. It's still there, even though John Hopkins reversed it. And what it basically says is that there's been an amazing drop
right.
in heart attacks and in pulmonary deaths from non-COVID pulmonary deaths. And so what you're getting is that the net effect of the COVID has been no different than the annual flu, mean nothing. We closed down the country. We've destroyed people's lives, destroyed education. We've destroyed our own son's education for something that is little more than the normal flu. When it first came out and you saw pictures, purportedly pictures of people dying in the streets of Wuhan, you went, oh, my God, this is a 1919 influenza. Which did kill people at enormous numbers. Now, this is highly infectious, but it's not terribly deadly if you don't have large comorbidities. If you have large comorbidities,
morbidities,
you're going to die from some other influenza or other things.
Or heart attack.
Or heart attacks or everything else. So we've been conned, destroyed our economy, destroyed our children. Who knows how many suicides it's resulted in. And they've ripped us off, and we just and of course John Hopkins. Whoa, wait a minute! They didn't pull it back, saying we're worried about the methodology. We're
right.
worried about some of the underlying numbers. It's just it's being used for the quote unquote wrong purposes.
Yeah, you know, I think this kind of work is very difficult to assimilate because you are looking at data that looks at what is happening after we put in mitigation strategies. So we have done a lot in this country.
Do you believe those mitigation strategies do anything? Anything?
Well, I think they do. I think they really do. I think that.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Well, which ones? Let him answer.
Which ones do you think help? But destroying kids' education? Well, is that a good
answer.
One?
Let him answer.
It's good. I like a feisty interview.
There you go.
Well, in terms of it, what does good? Wearing masks for both parties is very important. Wearing them properly is even equally important. So you just can't have it hanging around your chin or hanging it over your face and nose and then whispering in someone's ear where you're spreading germ. That's important. I think social distancing is important. I also think that hand washing and the usual kinds of things that are good hygienic things that help us do it. As to keeping people away from everything joyful, I think that's ill-advised. The data, and it was very early on that the American Academy of Pediatrics came out with their recommendation that schools should be open because children are at very low risk for COVID, and even teachers are at low risk if they use proper mitigation techniques.
Well, they're only 25 themselves. You know, most teachers are not 90.
And let me
Let me finish this. I mean, now we all have experience with COVID. We all have had friends who tested positive for COVID. We go to a thing and half the people or two thirds of people have had COVID. And you ask them, what was the effect? And they kind of go, a little bit like mono for a bit of time, not bad. Lost my sense of smell, which is really bad because you lose your ability to taste and all that. Everybody has it now. Why are we terrified I got swine flu. Now that was terrible. Swine flu was terrible. COVID is nothing. And we're all supposed to be running around endlessly washing your hand. Well, it's a good idea anyway. You ought to try to be hygienic. I'm not sure we're told masks were worthless. And they said, well, we were just lying to you so we can make sure that the health professionals could get them. What are we scared of?
You're thinking of what Surgeon General Adams said very early on. About we don't think people should wear. Yeah, that was bad information. I jumped out of my chair. My wife thought I sat on a tack when I heard him say that. Because of course they work. They've been used in hospital settings all the time for reverse isolation. Why do you think if they don't work? Why do you think they use in operating rooms since the year of the flood?
Those are different than the guy at the liquor store pulling a bandana over his face. That's my thing. And if the masks work, I mean, I understand that certain kinds of masks used properly are very effective, right? But the average person running around with a bandana over his face, if that's so effective, how come people the case? Well, I have questions about the cases anyway. How come we all still have this going around? We've all been dutifully wearing our masks.
I'll give you a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think Dr. Fauci is a power mad moron? On a scale of 10 being a total moron, 1 being just a great science man and doctor trying to help us all out.
I wouldn't put moron and powerful in the same sentence with Fauci. And Fauci's done a lot of good way back into the HIV pandemic. And if you think about how important he was in getting a grasp on what was going on with AIDS and early on in the 70s, I'm old enough, I'm in my 70s myself, so I remember when this happened. He was very, very influential in moving the FDA in a very powerful way to get treatments out there. He's a very good public servant. But I do think what part of my credentials are is the Alumni Association of the School of Public Health at Columbia University. And when I do, and I hung around enough public health folks to know that Dr. Fauci, Dr. Brix, and many of the other individuals we hear in the state public health departments are espousing the traditional, very, very cautious, very, very conservative, very, very hardline, dogmatic view of public health. It's almost like the old image of mom, you will not. These are the Ten Commandment kind of folks. So what they're doing is they're doing what public health officials do. These guys, Fauci and his contemporaries, wrote the textbooks on public health and public safety. So they're basically espousing what's in the textbooks. That's not the way we can live our lives or should live our lives.
Right.
And I give the Trump administration a tremendous amount of credit that they're trying to allow the decision-making to be made at the local level, because what happens in my area of Florida is different than what happens in Orlando, is different what happens in Queens, is different what happens in South Bend, Indiana, et cetera. So I do think that, while the public health track is monolithic, very dogmatic, very conservative, and very dogmatic against no, you will not. I do think you have to balance that with the economic realities, with the American psyche for individualism and the ability to express your freedoms. And that can all be done safely if you just use that most uncommon commodity, common sense. So I do think, wearing masks in a car.
It's common sense shutting down the businesses and destroying small businesses. How many people have to go bankrupt? How many people lose their livelihoods? When is my son going to get back his education? That the public health officials, and they're just as bad here, just as power hungry. We're part of Tri-County Health. And that guy, the head of that, is more power hungry than I've ever seen anybody. These people are dangerous, and they're destroying our lives, and we're really sick of it.
Well, in America, the good thing is they're all accountable at some level or other every well, 2 to 4 years, depending on cycles.
Well, we no, they're not accountable. Well, we, what they're accountable for is Tim Frolicinski, the one who the Russian agricultural scientist who told them to grow winter wheat, and tens of millions died. And that the public health officials are killing us,
well,
our children.
That's what we have. I think we have politicians who we need to elect.
Governor has to call. He called a special session for their job. They've taken over our democracy. They've destroyed our ability to even have legislators. And we'll have to thank them. I think we ought to start rounding up public health officials and imprisoning them.
That's what Michael Dow says. Yeah,
yeah, that's what everyone else is saying.
Doctor, not you, though.
We not you. Not you. You're okay.
Well, thank you.
You're okay.
My wife would miss me a lot, you know, if I'm not around here now. And my grandkids. Oh, my goodness.
You know, let me get you back.
I do try to. I try not to second guess too many of these good folks because, you know, we haven't really faced this kind of a problem before in 100 years, not in anybody's individual lifetime, and certainly not in the age of mass media and social networking. And I do think that part of the reason these folks are doing what they're doing and getting away with what they're doing is an over-politicization of science. That didn't work well for Copernicus. It doesn't work well in the 21st century either. Unfortunately, a lot of what is being portrayed to the public, as the example we opened up with this very curious Johns Hopkins information, I won't even call it study, it was just data crunching in a certain way, is giving a lot of megaphones to a lot of individuals who never had them before. And I think it's turning out in a little bit of a bad way.
She said if you traveled for Thanksgiving like our good mayor of Denver did after demanding that no one
and
else
some mayors I saw that
that we you should assume you have COVID-19 and should get tested. You think that's a good idea?
No, I don't. I looked at that and I thought that was a very poor idea because what it does is it puts pressure on those who need to be tested. So I understand why she said what she said. Again, in the absolute, you know, we learn how to drive from driver's ed, but that's not how you drive when you're driving down the highway or in the streets. You know, they're two different things. So what Dr. Brix, who I also admire for her tenacity, her knowledge base, her intent to do good, what she was trying to convey is an over cautious approach that everybody needs to be tested if you were in any way. And I don't think that's true. I think
and
you
in
have
the meantime,
to,
too, I would say this. I mean, I always like to follow the money. There are a lot of people making a lot of money over this, too. You know, and let's go back to the Johns Hopkins thing, because this is something I had said way back when. I said, you know what we need to do is after a few months, look and see if deaths are up. Because if the coronavirus is so fatal to so many people, then we should see a massive spike. Everyone should still be dying of their heart attacks. Everyone should still be dying of the flu and everything, pneumonia and everything else. But there should be this massive spike of deaths due solely to the COVID. We should be able to see that. And it seems to me what the Johns Hopkins study did is fairly straightforward, right? They just looked at numbers and they said, well, here's what we see. We see numbers, which are traditionally fairly stable for these other main causes of death. Those have gone down while COVID caused deaths are here, but the overall number of deaths is the same. And to me, it seems like the only conclusion you can come from that is the only reasonable conclusion is that a lot of deaths that are actually due to other things and would have occurred anyway because of those other things are being attributed to COVID because it fits some people's whatever agenda.
Yeah. Yes, you're absolutely true. I think one of the phrases that is most properly applied is COVID-related deaths. We all know about the story of a guy who was died in a motorcycle accident and he had some presumed COVID and he reported the COVID death. Well, I think that happens a lot. We're not getting people coming in for a lot of other what we, I think, wrongly call elective medical procedures or even routine exams. People are just not doing that. I think when you look at how you classify the cause of death, it's kind of a judgment call, and you are correct, and I know President Trump has pointed this out before, that there's a lot of money involved in making sure that and a lot of self-justification, shall I say, to right. have COVID the number one related cause of death. So I think when this study, if we ever get to the real data, and we will get to the real data, not this year, but maybe in 5 years. You know, CDC doesn't come out with death mortality
data. It takes them forever, yes.
Yeah, 3 years. We're still working on 2018 data. I'm working on issues in suicide, mental health, and boys and men.
Do you think anybody trusts the CDC today? Do you think anybody trusts their studies or what they call science? And they've lost total credibility with America. And I know you're on the Columbia University School of Public Health. You know,
well, I used to be. I'm not
down,
anymore.
Accountants went down. I'm telling you, public health officials are probably right along with lawyers.
Worse than talk show hosts and lawyers.
Yeah, talk show hosts and lawyers.
Well, if they ever come across you, sir, I think they are in a lot of trouble out there in Denver. But we can't say. I try not all to. Right. You know, I used to teach at a couple of schools, Columbia University and Belmont University, and I worked with a lot of students on the doctoral level. The doctoral degrees. And what I would tell them is, you know, when you get your doctoral degree, you get one absolute right, and that's the right to stand up in a room full of other people with doctoral degrees, say what you have to say, and then be roughly criticized and told you don't know what you're talking about, and you're the dumbest person on the face of the planet. So I think there is the scientific discourse, which is playing out in the public domain now, which is messy discourse. It's like politics. It's like making sausage. We have the political sausage making. We have the science sausage making. At the end of the day, I think in science, we do tend to come up with some pretty good conclusions if you stick to scientific methodology. But I do think that no science is instantaneous. And unfortunately, this Hopkins study, maybe some of the other earlier studies that we saw with related to COVID were rushed to judgment. And they did a disservice to everybody. One other thing about the virus, if I might.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
You talk about it as you talk about the seasonal flu. Mm-hmm. And people get it, and they get better. And you ask them, how was it? Well, I couldn't taste my pasta fazool, you know. But other than that, it wasn't really all that bad. But there's another thing that we are seeing in many folks post-COVID effects. And we haven't unraveled that yet. We're seeing long-term effects on cardiovascular system, on the pulmonary system, the renal system, the central nervous system. We don't know what all that means. We have more data. We have to have a little bit more follow-up to understand. But I do think that there's something rather unique about this virus that makes it not your average naturally occurring virus. So I won't go as far as to say that it was engineered, but when I first saw the number of body systems that this virus affects, everything from your core nerves, your olfactory and gustatory nerves, these are basic functional nerves, to this huge clotting effect it has. I spoke with my son. I said, you know, it's something very unusual. I've never, ever seen, now I'm not a virologist, but I've never, ever seen a virus cause this number of effects on this number of body systems. So there were also, I think, and that's what scared a lot of us early on. We just don't know what this is like. It's kind of that 9/11 moment. We don't know what is really happening here.
What's happening?
We've got to hunker everything down. Now I think we know a little better.
Well, I think we know a little better. And I think we all know a little bit better about public health and what our health professionals.
And we can have you on for a whole other show to talk about, naturally occurring, but we're out of time.
I know. Dr. Sal, we really appreciate you coming on. You're fun to talk to.
Well, anytime I can help.
Okay.
I do have a feisty interview, so I guess I could come here for a good feisty interview.
There you go. Sir, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Very good, and have a happy holidays to you and all your listeners. Let me know if I can help again.
Thank you. That's Dr. Sal Giorgiani.
Yes.
Sort of like George Anthonisopoulos.
Yes, Giorgiani.
You know, we could talk about all that. You know, I think, I think the truth is coming out. And we're going to try for Friday to get Dave Williams and Patrick Neville on. Because one of the other things they're doing at the state legislature, Chuck, we could do a whole show on this, is they're going to have a lot of these millions of dollars in aid be distributed through, guess what? government nonprofit, government nonprofit
hooray,
organizations hooray. Who can take some of the money to cover their expenses. So that means none of us are going to get anything. Hey, I want to thank everybody for chiming in. Great comments today in the chat section. Thank you, everybody listening.
I want to thank Dr. Sal because you know, not everybody's willing to put up with a tough interview, and he probably doesn't get a lot of tough interviews, but he was willing to take it and stay in good humor. So I want to thank him very much for coming on.
Remember, you can catch our shows at chuckandjulie.com. We're also on Podbean. If you want to just get the audio, that's the Chuck and Julie Show .podbean.com. And also just always the great folks at BBS Radio. Thank you to them. Thanks to everybody. And we'll see you on Party Friday.
Party Friday. Where you can't, no place to party.
Yeah.